This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Kusha Navadar in for Allison Stewart. Hey, what are you doing tonight at 6 p.m.? Because it's time for our Get Lit with All of It book club. We'll be discussing Xochitl Gonzalez's novel, Anita De Monte Laughs Last. If you already have tickets, we'll see you at the New York Public Library on 5th Avenue and 40th. And if you don't, you can watch our live stream. Head to WNYC.org/getlit for more information. That's WNYC.org/getlit. That's tonight at 6. Let's get this hour started with this week's Food for Thought segment. Happy Food for Thought Thursday! Every week we bring you food, or at least a conversation about food. Making it, enjoying it, appreciating the stories behind it. And by now, listeners, you know the drill, or should I say the grill, because today we're talking about the barbecue grill. Anyone? Okay, but not just any barbecue, because we're going vegan, plant-based, meatless, and dairy-free, which might sound like a challenge for a cuisine that's so meat and dairy-centric, but to show us how we can lose those animal-based ingredients without losing the soul, please welcome Toriano Gordon, the chef and owner of the Oakland-based soul food restaurant Vegan Mob, and now he's the author of a new cookbook called Vegan Mob, Vegan Barbecue and Soul Food. Toriano, welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Great to have you here. And listeners, we want to have you a part of the conversation too. We're talking about vegan soul food and barbecue. So join us by calling or texting. Share your own favorite comfort recipes that are plant-based. Give us a call or text. It's 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. Are you looking for tips to help veganize a non-vegan dish? Or are you looking for some plant-based inspiration for what to bring to a family cookout? Anything you want to ask Toriano? He's the author of the cookbook Vegan Mob, Vegan Barbecue and Soul Food, and the founder of a restaurant with the same name. The number is 212-433-9692. Okay, so Toriano, you grew up with soul food and barbecue as your favorite kinds of food. Before we take meat out of the equation, when you think about barbecue, what memories come up for you?
Grilling in the backyard. Just going to going to my aunt's house in Berkeley, and my uncle coming from Houston and talking about how San Francisco doesn't have any good barbecue, and showing me what good barbecue is, and then we did have some cool barbecue spots that I liked, you know. So I just loved barbecue. I loved the activity and the taste. It was always a treat, you know? And so once I got older and I was able to do it myself, I was like doing it all the time.
Yeah. I think it's really cool that before you opened your restaurant, you also, you know, made a lot of music with a Bay Area group called Fully Loaded, right?
Yep.
And it was also under your own moniker, Young No. And in the intro to your book, you write, "I use music in the same way I use food to express myself and tell my story." So you use both music and food to tell your story. So when you think about your own story, you think about those you know, having all of your relatives over and them telling you that there's no good barbecue in San Francisco, or your story in general. What parts of your story can you tell better with food than you could with music?
Man, well, you know, with food, I could tell more of a family story because the food is well connected to like my family history. Like everything that I eat and that I put in this book is basically a part of my upbringing and a part of, you know, how I was raised and what was in my household and what my mom took me, you know, how my mom showed me to eat. And you know, so it really, with music, it's like experiences, and I do tell different stories about family, but the food, I feel like food is like deeply connected to like my family roots, you know.
Yeah, it's like music, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but I hear you say like music is about what you're thinking, and food is kind of like what your family thought, maybe.
Right. It's just how I was brought up. Like it's just sharing like what. It's almost like showing off my family. Like this, like when people when my lines got large at Vegan Mob and people just loved my food, I was like, okay, this is what I know about my grandmother's food, you know, and my mom's food. So, like, I always thought we had some of the best food. And I was like, am I biased? You know? But I grew up in San Francisco, and San Francisco has some of the best food in the world. Like, yeah. You know, I've traveled to many places. Excuse me. Sorry about that. I've traveled to many places, and when... Just like San Francisco always, you know, pretty much we shine hard when it comes to the food.
Yeah. You opened your restaurant in an Oakland neighborhood called Filmo, which is spelled Filmore.
No. Let me correct that. So yeah. I'm that's where I'm from, is the Fillmore. So Filmo, that's where I grew up. That's my neighborhood. Oakland is Fillmore is in San Francisco, so Fillmore is like the Harlem of the West. Oakland is where I opened up my restaurant. In Oakland is Lake Merritt.
You know what's funny about that? I used to actually live right on Fillmore Street in San Francisco, so that's my flub. You know, showing my colors here. I should know better. Yeah, thank you for that. I appreciate it, keeping me connected to the West Coast, the best coast, except for New York City, which is great. But tell us about that neighborhood. Right. Tell us about that. What? Why that pronunciation is so important for you, and why you made it the name of your book's first section?
Yeah, Well, it's just because the Fillmore. It's like, okay, for us, like the younger generation, for the people that are from that area, from the people who are from the hood, from people who are connected to the culture, we say Fillmo, you know, and and I feel like I would say like the out of town, I don't want to call them transplants, I want to be like a rude about it, but it's been a lot of gentrification in the city of San Francisco, and especially in our neighborhood. And I felt like I was like making a statement, like this is Fillmo, not the Fillmore. You know what I mean? And we, you know, our elders and stuff, they may call it the Fillmore here and now, but when I grew up, everybody like in what we call it in. Call it Fillmo. It's Fillmo. You know, that's what we. That's how we say it. I mean, if you were to ask somebody that was, you know, from the culture in Harlem or Brooklyn about Fillmo, they can definitely tell you about Fillmo. You know, like mm-hmm. we can tell you about Harlem, or we can tell you about Bronx, or. You know, Brooklyn. Or
so, Triano, what would people say about film? Like, how would they describe it? How would your friends describe it?
Oh, well, it's a lot of culture. It's the hip hop. It's the Mecca of the jazz. It's music. It's love. It's family. It's swag. It's the middle of the city. It's where everything happens. You know, so it's the place to be. You know, and before I was born, it was where all the artists came, you know, all the comedians, all the jazz, all the R&B art, you know, singers came, and they stayed on Fillmore Street. And like they call it the Harlem of the West, like, the, you know, it was just music and just jazzy and just a. I guess a fly place to be.
Yeah. And you know, people around the country can stream this. So if anyone's listening right now, the Fillmo or in San Francisco, generally shout out. Appreciate you listening. Before we get into some of the recipes, I want to talk about the way you think about plant-based substitutions in your vegan recipes. How do you decide when to use like straight up store-bought meat replacements versus whipping up an alternative from raw ingredients yourself?
In the beginning, I wanted to do my own ingredients, but I just got so busy that it wasn't even, there was no way that I can do it. It was just crazy. You know, I didn't have any funding. You know, I had a little bit here, but, you know, I didn't have any investors or anything like that. I took a loan here, then I took a loan here. And so it was no time for me to just go whip up my own stuff. You know, I'm more of the, I cook everything else, the greens, the cheese sauces and things like that, but the yams and things like that. But I never had a chance to whip it up like I wanted to. But I met a guy in the neighborhood I was living in the Diamond District in Oakland, mm-hmm. named Chef Chu. He had a restaurant called Veg Hub. And I went in there and I was like, who's your manufacturer? And he was like, it's me, I make it. And so it was kind of like a match made in heaven. He gave me the product. And so from there, it was like, okay, I didn't even have to do anything. You know, it was like, all right, we just teamed up almost, you know, even though he had his own restaurant. I was doing so much that he just ended up making so much stuff for me. You know, yeah. I'm actually working on my own plant-based stuff right now, but I'm just, once again, I'm just really, really busy. So
yeah,
it's tough to just go in and just get it going, you know, cause I like my stuff to be, I want it to be top.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want it to be like just anything that I put together. I wanted to be on the level of, you know, all of the top plant-based meat. So if I'm going to release something, it has to be something of like super good quality.
Well, let's talk about that super good quality for a second. If you use the term vegan pantry, which includes both meat and dairy substitutes, what are your two top two must-haves for each category, for meat and for dairy, to sub in?
Okay. You know, right now I would have to say Better Chew right now for the chicken. And I would want to say, right now I like Impossible's sausages, even though I'm making my own hot links. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be honest. Like their sausages are pretty good. And then for cheese, you know, there is no top cheese really that I think, to be completely honest. Like
no sub four cheese that matches cheese is what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't really think, like, I mean, there's good melts, you know, like I use Daiya and stuff like that. But I really just add my own ingredients to make it taste how it tastes. Mm. You know? Mm-hmm. You know, it's nothing like that where I feel like I can slap on a pizza and be like, oh yeah, this is like pizza, or I can just put it by macaroni and cheese and make it like how I make it if it was not vegan and it just come out like macaroni and cheese. I feel like you have to find the best melts, you know. So like, I think for me, Daiya was my go to, and I just add my own ingredients inside of it, and then to make it not taste, have that aftertaste and make it come out delicious.
And you're also talking about, you know, you say for the meat, like, here are good imitations, but for cheese, there is no imitation. Is it fair to say the goal isn't imitation in that case? It's for finding something that satisfies the same feeling, but is its own beautiful thing on its own?
Mm-hmm. Right. It's all about, something that can meet your texture max, and then you just kind of got to put in the work to make it flavorful, how you know, how you want it to be.
Yeah. We're talking to Toriano Gordon, who is the chef and owner of Vegan Mob in Oakland and the author of the new cookbook, Vegan Mob, Vegan Barbecue and Soul Food. Listeners, we're taking your calls. If you want to talk to us about vegan soul food and barbecue, you've got a question for Toriano, give us a call, 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. We'll take your calls. We'll go into some recipes right after a quick break. The This is All of It. I'm Kusha Navadar. We're talking to Toriano Gordon, who's the chef and owner of Vegan Mob in Oakland and the author of the new cookbook, Vegan Mob, Vegan Barbecue and Soul Food. We're taking your calls, listeners, about vegan soul food and barbecue. If you have a favorite plant-based comfort recipe, you can give us a call. Maybe you have a question for Toriano. Maybe you have something that you love about vegan food that you want to share. Our number is 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. And Toriano, before the break, we talked about getting into some recipes, so let's do it right now. When we go into sauce, which is such an important part of barbecue, you have a sauce that bears the name of your brand, Mob Sauce. What's that? How did you develop that recipe? And maybe could you share the recipe with us?
Yeah. The Mob Sauce. I developed that recipe right in my kitchen. I was trying to figure out, like, to be honest with you, like, my favorite sauces, I wanted to combine, like, a good barbecue sauce with a teriyaki sauce. And so I was thinking, like, how do I do this? And my mom was like, well, you know, look up your favorite teriyaki sauce. And so I took some stuff from the teriyaki sauce. Like, in the recipe, you have tomato sauce, ketchup, yellow mustard, light brown sugar. And then here you go. You get the garlic, the sake, the mirin, the soy sauce, you know, and that's the Asian part. So it's kind of a mixture of, and then you got lemon juice and liquid smoke, you know, for the smoky flavor. But it's a mixture of, like, barbecue sauce, like a Texas barbecue sauce with kind of a teriyaki with ingredients from, like, a teriyaki sauce. And it's really good.
Yeah, sounds like a lot of thought was put into that. What did your mom try it? What did she say?
She loves it.
Yeah. That's great.
I was really trying to emulate one of my uncle's recipes at first, but I couldn't find anything from him. He passed away. And so I was trying to kind of call up my cousins, see if they had any recipes hidden, but nobody had anything for me. And so I was like, all right, well, I just got to get to work and do it myself. And so it took me about, like, 6 months until I really found the flavor. Once I remember tasting it, and I was like, that's it. I said, that's the magic. And I called it Maddie's Magic at first, named after my grandmother. And then I just kind of got into my mob mode, like vegan mob mode. And I was like, all right, nah, this Mob Sauce. And so, it caught too, you know, because it's really catchy. People love it. People just, I want some Mob Sauce, It's almost so, just in the league of its own as far as, like, the name, that it tricks people, that people don't even, some people are not even thinking about it being barbecue sauce.
And it's cool. And
like, how? No, barbecue. It tastes just like barbecue sauce, but just because it says Mob Sauce, people are just stuck to the mob part.
Yeah, it's cool how you're, making Mob Sauce came from, you know, so many family influences. What dishes do you remember your uncle's sauce on?
Brisket. He made a chicken, ribs. He taught me how to barbecue. So I used to be around him and just pick up everything from him all the way up to basically till he passed away.
So we've also got a caller for us with some insight. We've got Marsha from Brooklyn. Hey, Marsha, welcome to the show.
Hey, hi. So I'm really glad to hear this, and I'm fine, and I'm going to try your sauce. I've been a vegan for almost 50 years, some lapses because I missed Asiago cheese, particularly on my popcorn. But right. I do also use Dio when I make my little at-home pita pizzas or pizzas. Because it melts well. But what I also use in all my recipes where I need a cheesier thing, like a pasta with arugula and, you know, whatever I'm doing and fine nuts, I throw in nutritional yeast. and about because it has that cheesy taste. And it's also great because it has all those B12 vitamins and all those enzymes and great protein, too. So that's what I use. And I just wanted to say that there's a place near me that makes a nutritional yeast Parmesan alternative with walnuts and nutritional yeast and whatever other seasonings they add. So you can also grind up nuts into your nutritional yeast and play with flavorings, garlic, salt, lemon pepper, salt, whatever it is, to give it that feel. I just wanted to say that.
Marcia, thanks so much for that call. I really appreciate those facts too. Toriano, nutritional yeast, what's your verdict?
Oh yeah. I like putting that on my popcorn. I use it for things like that. I know about nutritional yeast. There's a good flavor to it. My aunt actually, my wife's godmother put me onto it before I went vegan, and I'm a fan of nutritional yeast for sure.
Marcia, we really appreciate the call. We got a text to Toriano. It says, corn, okra, tomato, a tried and true soul food classic and still my favorite side dish. And then a yummy emoji. Just got to point that out for listeners because I can see it. It's Charles in Harlem. Ooh. Thanks, Charles. Appreciate it. Toriano, I want to talk about Mabi chicken too. You talk about getting the texture of the chicken substitute right. Go into that a little bit. How do you get good fried chicken texture from a chicken substitute?
Man, you just have to have the right product, you know, from what I've, back then I used the soy because I use the Better Chew fried chicken. I didn't make it myself, but what I did is I used his chicken and binded it together and then coated it with a good batter. You know, the batter usually does the trick, but now I've even tried oyster mushrooms, and oyster mushrooms is pretty good too. And it's definitely just about how you fry it and how the batter is. That's really how it is. That's really how I see it. But Chef Chu's the one who came up with the chicken. All I did is just put it together just like a regular chicken. You know how you go buy the chicken at the store and you battered it up and you fry it? Same thing. Like he had a good texture to it with the soy. Usually the soy has a good texture to it. And I just binded it all together and fried it up. And now he has a fried chicken.
You mentioned that it's the way that you fry it. Can you talk about that a little bit? What is the right way to fry it? Or maybe what's the wrong way to fry it?
I mean, you just have to make sure that it's fried. You know, it can't be under fried. You got to give it, you got to give it at least 5 to 7 minutes, in the fryer. You know, it's not like real chicken. You can't leave it, leave it in there for 20, 30 minutes, but you got at least 5 to 7 to 10 minutes. You can't undercook it because when you binding it together with the flour and the batter, if it's undercooked, then it's going to be gooey. So you want to make sure that everything is fried and cooked all the way through. And then you want to just make sure if you're putting together your own protein, like if you're, say you're making your own soy, you just want to make sure that texture is really good. Like I said, I've never made my own plant-based meat. Like I never went in there and created my own plant-based meat because I haven't had a chance to do that. But I've took others and I put together the fried chicken and made it like that. And so
if you're gonna go ahead.
You go ahead.
I was gonna say if you're gonna use oyster mushrooms, frying those, any particular tips about that?
You wanna make sure that it's not super wet. You want to make sure it's well seasoned, and then you want to make sure before you fry it and put it together that it's not that it's dry through, and that's pretty much it. I haven't used a bunch of oyster mushrooms, but I just started to get into it, and I want to get into it a little bit more because I want to start using more natural ingredients too. So like things like jackfruit. I wasn't into that in the beginning, but now I'm making some changes.
We have a caller online too that might have a counterpoint to what you're talking about with cheese. I'm not going to start a debate here, but I'm really interested to hear this person's take on cheese. Jen from Brooklyn. Okay. Hi, Jen.
Hey, hi guys. I'm really excited to call in about this because I was obsessed with cheese before I became vegan years and years ago. And when the options were just Daiya, I completely cut cheese out because Daiya was just terrible. Daiya has since made turnarounds and they have improved their formulas. However, I would by no means call them my go-to cheese. My go-to cheese for like an everyday, like on your cheeseburger and your mac and cheese, if you're making homemade pizza, for me, that's Vealife. I'm not sure how accessible it is outside of New York City. Maybe that's, you know, an obstacle. Of course, Daiya is like the first vegan cheese, so definitely probably more nationwide accessible. But I also want to shout out to Riverdale, New York City's own vegan cheese monger, which has, I'm talking real cheese, just not made from cows. So we're talking about cave age cheeses with the same cultures that you would use in a blue cheese. We're talking about ones that are like legit made with fungus and bacteria that you would use to make a dairy-based cheese using alternative ingredients, mostly like cashews and other nuts. They have an amazing line that they cater from across the country. Then also because we're talking about soul food. Oh, and they also have an amazing assortment of vegan cured meats.
Nice. Jen, what was the name of that?
Riverdale. It's
wonderful.
Actually in Lower East Side.
Riverdale. Thank you so much, Jen. We really appreciate it. We got to cut it off there. But Toriano, if you come over, we can check it out together. Come over to the East Coast. We'll check out that cheese together.
I want to try that. I mean, I've tried Vealife. Mm-hmm. I've tried all the cheeses, trust me, except that one. I've never heard of Riverdale. Daiya is not the best tasting cheese, of course, but it melts the best. Oh, so as far as I've tried every single cheese that you can name, trust me, I'm chef. Yeah. And but the melting is what I'm looking for, because I can make any of the cheese's flavors taste good because I'm really good at that. It's not about the I don't like any of the cheeses by itself too much, though. I follow your heart for a burger, though.
Right. And Jen, we want to thank you for that call. So Toriano, your first section in the book after the introduction is about the soul that goes into your soul food. And, you know, we've been talking this whole interview about how much of this is about your family and a lot of the women in your family in particular. And you say that your soul in the kitchen was inherited from your grandmother, which is a beautiful sentiment. Mm-hmm. What does soul mean to you and what does it look like as you're cooking?
I guess you know what it is. It's just the deep down inside. I feel like your soul is your inside. It's your roots. It's you know, it's who you are. It's what represents you. You know, it. My grandmother represented family. She represented love. She represented sharing. She represented selflessness. You know. And I believe that's what it is, you know, and just togetherness, all of that. And so I just remember myself just being in my grandmother's kitchen, just having that passed down to me, you know, just giving me all the Texas.
Yeah. Beautiful memories, wonderful taste, beautiful soul.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been talking to Toriano Gordon, who's the chef and owner of Vegan Mob in Oakland and author of the new cookbook. His roots are in the Filmo, which is in San Francisco. Don't get it wrong. Vegan Mob, Vegan Barbecue and Soul Food is the name of his book. Toriano, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you.